Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Brandy M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, October 1st, 2021. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we're on page 87, third paragraph. As we go through the day, we pause. Today's readers are Anna S. for the 12 steps, Joanne L. for the 12 traditions. Readers of the text are Barbara W., Jordan L., and Julie E.B. Alice G. is our newcomer greeter, and Bessie H. will do announcements. The reference numbers for Thursday, September 30th, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting are 17,846. That's 17846. And for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, the reference number is 17846. 50. That's 17,850. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Anna S. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much, Anna S., for reading those for us. I'll now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions for us. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning, team. Friday, this is Joanne. Thanks, Brandy. Joanne L. from Rhode Island, compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Least problems of money, Property and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much, and I will pass.
Thank you so much for your service, John. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 87, starting with the paragraph. As we go through the day, we pause. So we're reading that one paragraph only, and I'll now ask Barbara W. to begin reading. Good morning, Barbara. Barbara, star 1 to unmute.
Sorry about that. I'm Barbara W., a recovered compulsive overeater. It's my pleasure to serve. As we go through the day, we pause, and agitated or doubtful, and ask for the right up thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, "Thy will be done." We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly, as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. Boy, I was so glad to be able to read this one. It's one of my absolute favorites. And it is just here in my senior years, being 75, that I have come to learn what it means to be to pause. I am one that is just like, I really am self-willed when I'm riot. And I find myself on one of those bikes, but it just keeps going and going and going and going, and the button that says stop isn't there. And I still remember in my disease, I'm now 17 months abstinent today. I'm still remembering in my disease how I would get that buzz, and I would get my entire apartment lean, spick and span from the energy from that. Of course, then I would practically collapse on my bed or the floor or whatever, and just sort of, you know, decompress. And then the feeling of the buzz goes away and I want it some more. But now I have the tool. I have something that brings me a great deal of peace. I'm trying to get a new apartment closer to my children. And the process is what I call very intense. But there's times I have now been able to step back and say, God is telling me if I'm supposed to be in this apartment, in this new apartment, I will. Not I will. God's will be done. I just pause. God's will be done. And it will, and it is. With that, I pass.
Oh, thank you so much for getting us started, Barbara. Okay, so if you just joined us, we're on page 87 of the Big Book, and we just read through that one paragraph as we go through the daily pause. Who would like to share on that paragraph?
Irene B.
Wendy B.
Roz G.
Wendy B. Roz G.
Kathleen.
Irene, Wendy, Roz, Kathleen.
Jordan L.
Sherry KB.
Anyone
Jody
else?
Jody E.
All right. That's a good lineup. We'll start with that. I'll tell you who I have. I have Irene B, Wendy B, Roz G, Kathleen O, Jordan L, Sherry KB, and Jody E. All right. Good morning, Irene.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Irene B, gratefully recovered bulimic in Louisiana. This is the conclusion, or near the conclusion, of my most favorite and helpful part of the book, you know, but I felt compelled not only to highlight and underline, but to add so much more. Oh my gosh, I am just, that's just me. I guess that's one of my character defects. But this is telling me to pause. And on my own accord, I absolutely cannot pause when I'm agitated. When I'm agitated, the last thing I will ever do is pause. I'm so disconnected from self, and I don't even know that I'm triggered. It's much, much better now, but that's my natural inclination. So what I've learned is that when I go to the fridge, when I open that door, that should tell me that I'm agitated, that somehow I'm playing God, that I'm trying to fix me. Something's going on. I'm on self-reliance. And I really need to go to self-reliance. So this is telling me to pause, but how do I do that? Number one, I'm not aware. Number two, even if I'm aware, I don't know what to do. And I love a share from the previous meeting, actually multiple shares that say they talked about doing the step 10. And I just want to jump up and down with joy because step 10 is the only thing that I know I can do, and I know what I'm going to get out of it. I'm going to get a connection with my higher power. And that's what I need, because I cannot do any of this without the help of my higher power. And if I'm going to do it on my own accord, because, oh, I know, I intellectually understand, I need to do all these things. That's my self-will run riot, because that knowledge does absolutely nothing for me, because I don't have the power to do that which I know I need to do. It's not that I don't know. I know, for crying out loud. I need to go to God. And that's all there is to it. And the only way I know for sure to connect with God is for it to be early in the morning and vision for you to be on. And I cannot reproduce that at will throughout the day. But I can go to a 10th step. If I remember to do that, but I don't remember to do that. So you're not alone, because I know that I'm not the only one, and I feel so bad, and I'm not working my hair, my program, like my hair's on fire, because I'm not doing 10 steps every time I need to. So I just need to learn to pass. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So Wendy B, followed by Raj G. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning. This is Wendy B, recovered in Arizona. And I think this is my favorite paragraph right now. You know, I pause when I'm agitated or doubtful. You know, when I'm uncertain, what's the next right action? You know, I have to stop and give God an opening, you know, space to direct me. And I need to have an attitude of surrender. You know, I lay down my self-will and my wants at his feet, and I ask for his right thought or action. And, you know, if I've yielded the outcome I desire, then I can be open to hearing his still small voice of guidance. You know, sometimes his guidance is just an inner knowing. You know, sometimes he speaks through other shares or something I read. You know, sometimes it's through circumstances of open and closed doors. And, you know, that I have to actively choose to believe he is guiding and directing me. You know, he says his sheep will know his voice. So I choose to believe that's true. You know, he wants to speak to me. He wants to speak to everyone and guide me. And he wants to reveal his will to me. So when I find myself, you know, in excitement or fear or anger or worry or self-pity or making unwise decisions, you know, then I know I'm not in a surrendered, humble state, you know, and I have work to do. You know, I have to do my 10th step and, you know, that I haven't yielded my will. You know, my ego has rebuilt itself, and I need it deflated again. And I need to remind myself that when I'm trying to arrange life to suit myself, then I'm in self-will and probably causing harm to those around me. And, you know, this is a moment-by-moment process of surrendering to God, you know, being the director and not me, that his plan for the day is much better than mine. You know, that as the creator of everyone, he knows what's best for everyone involved in every situation. That, you know, he has everyone's best interest in mind and not just mine. And, you know, my ego wants me to believe, you know, what I think is best for me is the most important. And that thinking is what needs to be deflated. You know, I'm just one among many, and everyone is just as valuable, you know, in the Father's eyes. And, that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. All right. So next up we have Roz G, followed by Kathleen O. Good morning, Roz.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Roz, and I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm in Palmdale, California. And I would like to share about, you know, we've heard a lot of this is the Step 10 process for me, mostly. Not always, because sometimes I just basically need to, I'm going to turn off my car so and get on the line here. Okay. You know, mostly this is a 10-step process for me, but sometimes, you know, I'm in a crowd of people. I'm around a lot of people. I'm not in a private place, and I simply need to go to my place of meditation where I've learned where to go. In my meditation time, there's this place where I go where it's in deep down within. And the big book says deep down within is where God may be found. So sometimes I can't do a 10th step, but when I can, boy, I got to tell you, those 10 steps save my life. Over the past week, I have been very resentful at some work situations. And it affects my pocketbook, and, you know, something about my pocketbook really puts a light under my butt. And I want to go on and tell you about it and gossip and say, what the hell's wrong with you? You know, what were you thinking? But because of the 10th step and because of practicing the pause, I did a lot of them. And I can't stay mad at somebody or something when I pray about it. It may creep back up later. But when I pray and say, God, this person or this situation is just as sick as I am, please help me to show this person the same tolerance, pity, and patience, kindness, and love I would cheerfully grant a sick friend.
When I pray that and I sincerely mean it, I can't tell them off. And I can ask for God's guidance and direction in the situation. And when I look back, as it says on page 100, we realize that when we put ourselves in God's hands, we see that he fixed the situation way better than I could have ever done it. So whatever's happening in this particular situation at work, and it's already fixing itself, looks like it may fix itself today, God does it. So it's not for me to put my finger in your face and say, what the hell is wrong with you? That's wrong. That's just going to make me have to come make amends to you later. And I don't like making amends. So I'd much rather practice the pause, do the 10th step, and go home to my place where I can ask God for guidance. Thank you. And I pass.
Thank you, Roz. All right. So Kathleen O, followed by Jordan L. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning. Kathleen O, recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. As we go through the day, we pause and ask for the right thought or action. This is absolutely one of my favorite paragraphs. Pause. Oh my gosh, this has saved me over and over. When I was demonstrating selfishness and self-centeredness on a daily basis before I came into 12-step recovery, I was always making a mess of things. I'd go into resentments and fear that would literally ruin my day. And, you know, if I get my ego out of the way and let my higher power run the show, I will avoid the consequences of fear, anger, worry, or decisions that inevitably are going to step on the toes of people. And this translates to less drama. You know, drama does not serve me or anyone else. So I can do away with drama. Recovery is when I can pause and ask for direction. You know, this power will and does direct me to live in tolerance every time, and the results are amazing. And most of the time when I pause and I listen for direction, I'm told to keep my mouth shut. And, you know, when I do that, I can stay God-centered and not self-centered. And ultimately, in the end, I can be at peace. And this is where we get this peace and happiness. You know, prior to recovery, I never paused, and the results were bad. Now when I pause, and I'm not perfect at this, but when I do, I'm so happy at the end of the day that I did. I never regret that I kept my mouth shut. I may have a resentment, but then I do a 10 step. And when I say I'm not perfect, the other day I was selfish because I wanted something I wasn't getting, and I made an offhand comment, and it wasn't meant to be hurtful, but it turned out that it hurt someone's feelings, and I didn't realize this person had heard the comment until I left the room. And when I saw her face, I thought, oh, I don't think she'll take that personally. But I thought about her 10 times throughout the day, at least 10 times, which made it really clear I needed to make amends. So the next morning, I immediately went to this person and made a sincere apology. But it reminded me that selfishness never serves me, even if it is unintended. You know, so this paragraph reminds me of step 3. It's making a decision to turn my life and will over to the care of a higher power. If I'm agitated, angry, fearful, and I don't turn my will over, I'm in trouble. So, you know, if I'm not asking for the next right action, I'm in big trouble. It's what I need to do. I need to practice it. I need to continue practicing it. I need to continue surrendering. It's not always easy to do this, but if I practice and continue to practice and surrender, I'm going to get recovery. And, you know, recovery is I wake up and I have to do it all over again. Doesn't build up and I'm clear. I'm free and clear. I'm not. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. Next up, I have Jordan L, followed by Sherry KB. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning. Excuse me. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and I'm super grateful to be abstinent this morning. And congratulations to Barbara. We're abstinent buddies. I got to tell you, it's kind of wild. Like, this is a pretty simple practice, right? Pause when agitated or doubtful. And I just want to point out that it says when, Because I when I first started practicing the 10 step, I kind of thought of it as like this tool I could use to fix myself. And I think that's pretty common. So like, it's all good, you know, it's a start. That's definitely a start to 10 stepping for sure. But what I found after practicing it for a little while, is that that's not what this is about at all, fixing myself. And actually what I found out through an 11-step practice, is that I'm the only one who thinks that I need fixing. You know what I mean? Like, that's not really where God's coming from. I'm the one who got it in my head that that I had to walk through this world protecting myself, you know, from these like hostile forces outside of myself that are trying to take away my self-esteem, or they're trying to take away my emotional security or my financial security, or they're trying to take away my ambitions, my dreams, my hopes for the future, or they're trying to take away my relationships, my personal relations or sex relations with other people. The 10 step, I find out that that's not really true, that those other people, they were either retaliating against me stepping on their toes, right? Or they're just as selfish and scared as I am, you know, and running around stepping on other people's toes. And so I get to the 11th step. I'm not trying to fix myself. I am, I'm trying to learn a new way of like practicing, of going through my day. And so it's when I'm agitated and doubtful. Because I will be agitated and doubtful, right? Like I don't rise above the level of human. So I get agitated and I get doubtful, and I practice pausing instead. And this is a practice that has completely changed my life. So I just want to say I'm grateful for that. And that's all I got.
Thank you, Jordan. All right. Next up, we have Sherry KB, followed by Jody E, and then we'll take more names. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Brandy. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive reader. Thanks so much for your service and Team Friday and everybody on the line. This, too, is one of my favorite paragraphs. I refer to it probably every day because for me, without checking in with God constantly, and trying to run the Sherry Show, I definitely burn up energy foolishly. And I say that to myself a lot. Oh, are you burning up energy foolishly, Sherry, trying to arrange life to suit yourself and running the Sherry Show? I have friends that call it the Amy game or, you know, various things. And, you know, that's just it. You know, if I go through my day and I've had a bad day and I look back, I'm like, well, where was God in any of this, Sherry? Did you check in with God throughout the day? Because even though a day might not be great, any day is better with God, even though it might not be a great day. If I get to check in with God to deal with whatever's in front of me, it goes off so much better. It really does. And it's amazing to me. And it's such a, you know, it shouldn't be a hidden treasure, but it was hidden treasure for me for a very long time because I didn't pay attention to it enough. And I know when I think of pause, I think of pray and use spiritual energy, which is God, or pray and use step 11. And also that, you know, on page 60, on the fourth paragraph, it talks about that the first requirement that we need to be convinced that life on self-will can hardly be a success. And that, you know, me running the Sherry Show does not work, it never has, and it never will. But if I turn my will and my life over to my higher power constantly, every day throughout the day, and like everybody was talking about a step 10, that will change a lot of things. Because I know for me that when I do a step 10, and as I'm resolutely, and that's a really important piece, as I resolutely turn my thoughts to help someone else, My higher power gets in there like a spiritual vacuum cleaner and sucks all the yuck out of me. And I'm so much better. And it's amazing to me how when I do that particular step and then pause throughout the day, how much better I feel. And it could have been a rough day, but I know because God was there helping me, and I was following God's will, it made all the difference in the world. It's just, it's amazing. And it's such, and, you know, that's where I check now is I check in my thinking. Did I turn my will and my life over to God? And then I also, on my phone, it goes off every certain amount of hours. It says, you know, God is everything or God isn't. What's your choice to be, Sherry? Do you want to run the Sherry Show and burn up energy foolishly? And then the other one is that my peace and serenity totally relies on my relationship with my higher power and not on other people's behavior. And that I pass. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So next up, I have Jody E. But before Jody E. comes on the line, I just want to tell everyone where we're at. We're on page 87. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated. And so following Jody, we're going to take more names. So good morning, Jody.
Good morning, Brandy, and good morning, everyone. My name is Jody E., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic in California. So, yes, I love this paragraph, too. It is absolutely fabulous. One of the things I love so much about it is that it tells me that I don't have to burn up energy foolishly by trying to run the show, to arrange life to suit myself. That started when I took step three. If I sincerely did take step three, I turn my will, what I think I want out of life, over to the care of God. Now, I'm not going to do that unless I need to, and I do need to as a compulsive overeater. And the good and the blessing from this comes is this relaxation, as we read in a previous paragraph. We get to relax and take it easy. We don't have to burn up energy trying to arrange life. What a relief. What a release of care and worry. But I have to lean in to my higher power because I am human. And as a human being, I'm going to go back to thinking that I need to arrange life to suit myself. That seems to be my default way of being. So I have to remember and be reminded by all of you, which I am being, thank you very much, that I have to lean into my higher power throughout the day. And doing a 10th step with another human being is a great way to do that, because God shows up for me with skin on quite frequently through all of you. Not the only way I access God, but it's an important way that I do. God wants us to be together, to stick together, and to reach out to each other, because he knows we need each other, and he wants, I feel that God wants us to do that. God wants us to unite, be in unity, and help each other. So that's what I pray that I will do today. And I thank all of you for being there as part of my God squad. And with that, I pass.
Oh, thank you, Jody E. All right, so we're going to open up the lines again for further sharing on that paragraph. Who would like to share?
Hi, this is Melanie C. I would, please.
Melanie C., good morning.
Good morning. Who else?
Adele R. B.
I heard Adele R. And sorry,
Maureen.
What was the next name?
Maureen
B.
B?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyone else? I am going to throw my name in too. Okay, so followed by, so we have Melanie C., Arlene R, or sorry, Adele R, Maureen B, and I, Brandy M. So go ahead, Melanie C, take us away. Thanks.
Good morning, Brandy M. Good morning to you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in the darkness of Oregon right now, and I'm glad to be here. I cannot start without obviously telling us here that this book is filled with directions on what I can do to do anything else but pick up that first compulsive bite. And we are clearly up in the area of the 10 step. We've been hearing about folks talking about that already. But what's occurring to me is what I didn't have when I came in this program, and then sometime during it and through it, cautioning us all to understand this is step 10. We can't do, you know, step 10 until we get to step 10. But this is rudimentary to breaking through that idea that I couldn't get out of my head before, is that I had no space between what it was that was going on around me and stuffing my face with food and bags and boxes of just stuff because of whatever was happening. And this particular piece has taught me that my whole responsibility, my whole relationship with food, just eating food, has to do with a practical program of action. Practical program of action, which with whatever comes my way, that everything within here is going to move me towards that power and walking away from the food. My blinders are on. I'm no longer looking backwards anymore. And there's this protection against that. I go through the stages of neutrality with this. I go through the stages of now understanding what disease is and what I really am treating anymore. And that whole thing that drove me for 5 decades, that had me by the throat for 5 decades, doesn't even come up anymore. So now what do I do about these kinds of things so I don't go back? Each and every day, each and every thing that comes up, sometimes even the higher things, but certainly the things that rub me in the moment. I have a practical method, I was going to say methodical way, in which to bring my whole spirit essence back to being fit, to being grounded. And that's been my share with my folks this week, is that is, I have gone through a myriad of things for the last several months. It has been very, 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 very difficult for Melanie inside her heart and her soul. And each one has brought me wisdom and strength. But the words I'm able to say and use because of this particular process here that we're talking about in 10-step work, food never came up. That's a hallelujah moment. And I am grounded, absolutely grounded. My feet are planted solid because there's a practical place in which all of that other stuff, the retraining of my mind, was able to go through in terms of this particular paragraph. And I'm so overwhelmed, passionately grateful for it. Pass.
Thank you so much, Melanie. Adele R., do you want to share with us? Good morning, Adele.
Good morning. Yes, thank you. Adele R., gratefully recovered from compulsive eating today, and really grateful for all the shares. This line today, "We pause when agitated," is just so timely for me. I remember when I first became abstinent, someone said, "Oh, good, now you get to feel your feelings." And many times that has echoed in my mind. I didn't want to feel my feelings. I have no skills about feeling my feelings. And today I'm really on a bit of an emotional hangover. I have no skills with dealing with rage. There's been a lot that I've pushed down like whack-a-mole. Anytime a situation would arise, I knew how to medicate myself. And today I'm very grateful. I'm in neutrality with food. It never occurred to me once to reach out for the food, but I'm like a massive 2-year-old on rage. I don't have the skills. I don't believe... I've seen my unskillfulness, but thank God for this line that I've learned to pause. And thank God for a fellow last night who took my call. And heard my step 10, which is, God, I am powerless over this emotion, and I think that you can help me. And just stepping through step 10, which is 1 through 9, and I could feel the, you know, biochemical that was racing through my body, like my fingers and toes tingling with rage. And thank God for my willingness to pause. Thank God for these steps that changed what was happening in my body, in my emotions. Thank God for a place that I was able to come into that would say, your will be done. And then I was in much less danger of the anger that was just coming up as a natural human emotion that I've really never been allowed to have no skills with acting out on it. Today, I'm just really, really grateful to be in a teachable place. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Next up, I have Maureen B. Good morning, Maureen.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. Good morning. Yeah, you know, it's really ironic and it's kind of spooky, but I just had to share it. I was trying to decide this morning. I was doing an activity and trying to decide. I wanted to go to yoga. I wanted to go to yoga. I wanted to go to yoga. This is my racing thought, right? It's kind of ironic, racing to go to yoga. But, you know, I have a 5-mile hike I'm planning on this afternoon, and I have some work that I have to do. But I wanted to go to yoga, and I'm driving to the Y, and I'm hearing this small, silent voice saying to me, Maureen, this is not the time. You've got something scheduled this afternoon. You have some work you have to do before. It's not the time. You don't have the time. You don't have the energy. I don't want you to do it. And I was like, no, I want to do it. And I parked my car and I had a little discussion with God. And I heard the guidance, I want you to get on the meeting. And what are we talking about today? So kind of goosebumps. But God is, you know, I turned around and I'm back home. And I'm sharing this like a tear in my eyes because I didn't listen to that voice. I would have gone into that yoga and been plowing through it. And come home and racing to other things that had to get done. And I've got a full enough day. And one of the things in my recovery is trying to slow down. I'm trying to slow down and listen to that voice. Because my disease can be so, you know, it's that impulsivity. It's that everything is so urgent. It's that I've got to pack 30 things into my day. And the reality is my family and I are experiencing incredible crises right now. It's been actually going on for the past 2 months. Very, very stressful time for us. And so I'm trying to go really, really slow and easy. And on my own, I cannot do it. I need to stop and listen to that voice. And I listen. And I don't know about you, but if I'm already at a place, it is really hard for me to turn around. And yoga's good, right? Why would I turn away from yoga? It's a good thing. But going for a walk, that's a good thing too. I got a hike later on, and there's work to be done that has to be done. So I'm just so grateful today that I listened to that voice, and that I'm beginning to follow it more and more often. And when I do, like
time,
I wanted
please.
To text. Oh, sorry, I just want to finish with this. I wanted to text 2 girls that are related to the situation that we're in a crisis with. I wanted to text them, and it was like, what are you texting them for? I want information. Don't do it. Don't do it. And I didn't. So I'm grateful for listening to that still small voice. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. My name is Brandy M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. This is a paragraph that I keep in the forefront of my mind constantly, you know. So when I get agitated or doubtful and I don't know the right action, like it's not coming, it's not, you know, it's not clear. And, you know, today I really try hard to not act if things aren't clear, to just sit and wait, which is so different from when I was in my disease, because in my disease, I would need everything done yesterday. And, you know, so patiently waiting for God to show me, you know, give me the right thought or action can be very difficult. But today it's not. Today I like find really a lot of peace in the pause. For me, God is in the pause. You know, if I don't take a pause, then God is not there. I'm not accessing that power that I don't have. And, you know, constantly reminding myself, I'm no longer running the show, saying to myself several times during the day that I will be done. You know, I mean, I'm the actor, right, that it talks about in this big book that wants to arrange the lights, the character as a ballet. I want everything to go off to suit myself. Today, that's not true for me. You know, I can humbly be like, you know what, thy will be done. Maybe it's not about me. Maybe I don't know. Maybe I need to sit and wait. And, you know, that's what recovery is about, you know. And so the highs and the lows are not the same as they were before. You know, I was either really, really angry or really, really sad, or, you know, really depressed, like so depressed, or just so happy. And it was always like that, you know, that up and down and up and down. And, you know, I'm in much less danger today of that excitement, the fear, anger, worry, self-pity, and foolish decisions, because I don't just act with the first thought. Typically, the first thought is an addictive thought for me, or, you know, the addict brain that's coming out. And you know, where it says, like, we become more efficient, we don't tire so easily because we're not burning up energy foolishly. Like, you know, my days are spent pretty involved and pretty, you know, one step after the other, doing different things. And, you know, I'm not exhausted at the end of the day like I was before, because, like, it is emotionally, physically, spiritually draining to live in that chaos that I lived in before. And, you know, so I always need to remind it that it's not, you know, fire, Brandy, hire God. Thy will be done, not mine. And, you know, what I love about this, about the work here, is that, I mean, I'm never going to rise above the level of human, so I'm always going to make some mistakes, and I'm always going to have some sort of something happening, probably. But I can, you know, I can take the pause, and I don't have to act right away, you know. And this is part of the promises, I believe, where it talks about, you know, we no longer react to life. We have a different way of acting. And so, anyways, with that, I'll pass. And thanks for letting me share. I haven't shared in a long time. Okay. So with that, we are going to close the meeting, so that we have some time for announcements. So here we go. So we will now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. I will now ask Jordan L. to please read a vision for you.
Cool.
Good morning
again. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. Oh, God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick, even if it's me. Answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past and give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.